thank you for your word. We don't take it lightly. And this is a privilege to freely open our Bibles and seek your voice. Open our hearts and our eyes to you and what you want to tell us. We are ready and we submit to you everything. Holy Spirit, work in us. Work in us. Give us ears that can put attention to the spiritual words that you're going to speak. We trust you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. All the kids to their classes. Go with Brianna. Thank you, kids, for praying with us. Okay, this morning, I'm going to share something that I think has been in my mind for 3-4 weeks, and it is about obedience. And I don't know why, you know, the Lord put that in me, maybe because I needed to obey, maybe in some areas, but the more I was thinking about it, the more I started realizing a lot of things. And, you know, in my walk with the Lord, I've seen, you know, that many Christians sometimes fall away from the Lord, not because they stop believing in God, but because they don't want to obey something that the Lord has said to them. And, you know, the more I thought about it, you know, because I remember thinking, how can a person, you know, fall away and still say, you know, yeah, I still believe in God. But the more I realize is disobedience. And as you can see on the screen, we're going to read in 1 Samuel 15. And, you know, the prophet told Saul that God delights is more in obedience than in sacrifices. And that's what, you know, we're going to make a little bit of emphasis there, but if you think obedience is everywhere, we can see it in, you know, our children, those who have children, and work. You know, we make decisions every day. Every day. And either we obey or disobey, you know, is on our minds. And as people, we either have learned to obey or to disobey. You know, I want to tell you a story that happened to me when I was growing up. I have a friend that his dad was working for a company that was lending money. So when someone didn't pay the money, what happened? You know, they will take something from the other person. So he will take cars. So his dad will always bring nice cars, you know, to his house. And I don't know why, but he will bring it to their house and he will say, please don't use this car. He had his own car. But, you know, we were young and we will take the car, you know, for a drive. And we will take it and, you know, first time nothing happened, second time. Well, the third time it occurred to, you know, my friends, hey, Eric, you don't know how to drive. Why don't we learn in this thing? You know, because it wasn't a stiff shift. It was an automatic, and there are not many like those there. So he said, well, let's do it. So my friend, he stayed out talking to a girl and another friend and I. He was teaching me, you know, you do this, you know, and you go like this. Well, you won't believe it. It happens like the movies. Instead of, you know, hitting the brake, I hit the, you know, the pedal, and I went into, you know, it was a wall. Everything in my country is concrete. So we hit, you know, a big thing of concrete. So we were so, you know, I remember my friend just pushed me out and said, let me get, and he got the car out. He picked up the fender because, you know, the whole front was on the floor. So he picked it up. We ran and we went to my other friend and picked him up and said, he was like, what happened? He said, let's go. So we left because we didn't want anybody to see us that we hit that someone else wall. But I remember we got there. So his dad, he says, I'm going to take the car. And we didn't know what to do. It was late at night, so I remember we went to a shop. All the shops were closed. And he says, please help us. Please, you know, can you do something? And I remember we were in the middle of the night painting with, you know, I don't even remember what, trying to cover that until we could take the car to fix it. And thinking about disobedience, that's how it goes. You know, we got an instruction and we say, hey, you know, I do it or no, I follow it or not. And it can take you so far, disobedience can take you so far and get you in so many troubles. I could tell you a lot of stories about it, but you know, if a sign says 30 miles an hour and you go 70, you know, you could obey or disobey if you know, your dad tells you don't do this or do this. You know, we, as a parent, one of the things that make me proud about my children is obedience. You know, and I want you to realize that you could be, I remember the Lord gave me a picture that I could be with my son and at the store, and he could be following me, you know, no problem. But when he says, I want this, and I said no, and if he throws himself on the floor and says, I want it, you know, that's what happened with disobedience. We, you know, it makes me feel bad. I remember one time I was at the store, and I said, one of my, you know, my son, he asked me for something, and I said, no. And he said, okay, Dad, I felt so good. You wouldn't believe, obedience is, there is something, you know, about it. Can you imagine if, and you've seen it, it says a sign, don't smoke, and, you know, you put in gas. But while you put in gas, you know, There are signs to tell us things, you know, to obey. Because something could happen. Something could go wrong. I remember there was a sign once with our friends that it says, don't dive, you know, on a swimming pool. And he went head first. You know, he got a, because he was shallow, you know. And same thing, have you seen when you go in I-70 and says trucks, please, you know, slow down. That is steep, and they give you the direction. If you take a truck, full speed, full of everything, you won't be able to stop it. A friend was telling me a story about trucks. You know, disobedience is so strong that, you know, you will get into an accident. So I'm just trying to make a point that disobedience is wrong, and everybody knows that. Everybody does. But to God, it's a serious matter. disobedience to God is serious. And I'm going to show you some samples, you know, or in the Bible. Let's see Romans 5:19. If you can put it on the screen. It impressed me so much. And this is about obedience. And basically says, you know, from one man, Romans 5:19, one of the first ones. Let me look for it. So it says, Romans 5:19. So for the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even though the obedience of one, that many will be made righteous. See, disobedience and obedience have the impact. Can you imagine, you know, in the garden, that disobedient, you know, break to, you know, and it was in the plan of God, but sin came to everybody, you know. But what for the obedience of one, our Jesus Christ, our Lord, you know, we all became saved. So obedience can be so powerful, and disobedience can go, you know, really a long way. You know, we can see, who remembers Lot, you know, Lot's wife? What was the instruction that they gave them? You know, you go when Sodom and Gomorrah were being destroyed. It's so don't look back. You know, you're going to be good. You're going to be safe. Just keep going and don't look back. And what did she do? She looked back and it turns to, you know, salt. There is so many, you know, I was trying to, there is so many verses and more than I can tell you right now. But I was thinking same thing about, you know, Moses when he didn't enter to the promised land. What was it that, you know, a friend of God, the one who led the people for so many years, they said it were 38 years after a whole generation probably died and they were going to the promised land. God gave instructions to Moses and said, you know, give them water because they were complaining about water. He says, take the rod and just speak to the rock and water will come. You know, what did he do? He says that he went, you know, he struck the rock. For what? Sometimes I can think something so little. If you see the life of this guy, he was, you know, the beginning, the one who rescued the people, who started the nation, you know, as Israel bringing it out of captivity. And one simple thing, I was trying to think, there should be something more, you know, and I guess it was something on his heart, and the Lord knows everything. But disobedience to the Lord is a big deal. You know, there also says that because Abraham obeyed the Lord, we all are blessed. There is another scripture that says, because Abraham obeyed the Lord, we all are blessed. There is such an impact when we are obedient to what God is talking, what God is saying. So let's go back to 1 Samuel. And I'm going to tell you this story because I have read this so many times. And it just impressed me how the first king of Israel. And if you read farther, we won't go the whole story because of time, but let me tell you what happened. And he says, you know, then Samuel, the prophet, said to Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. And then he gave him instruction. He says, you're going to go, you know, and take the Amalekites. You know, there was these people. And he says, you're going to destroy them completely because they were sinners. You know, and he says, because the Lord has promised before that he will destroy the Amalekites. Because remember when they went out from Egypt? They were the ones who attacked the people of Israel and killed many that were lagging, you know, behind. And remember the story when Moses was raising his arms? They were winning, but he got tired, and there was Aaron helping him, you know, to keep them. And he promised that he will wipe out the Amalekites. So then, you know, this is what God wanted to do. And he says, you are going to do it, and you're going to take everything out, and you're going to wipe them out. And after that, you know, they decide, well, we're going to keep some of the sheep and some of the ox, and we're going to keep the king. And then the prophet came, and he says that the prophet was praying all night because the Lord told, hey, Saul disobeyed me, you know, and we're going to make things right. And he says that the prophet was praying all night, and he couldn't turn it. He said, you're going to do this and this. And then the prophet came to Saul and told him, why did you disobey the Lord? Why did you? And he said, well, I did everything. I'm good. And he was trying to make excuses. And he says, what is that I hear? You know, he could hear the sheep and the ox. He could hear them. They're alive. Why did you disobey the Lord? And, you know, and he says that the God felt like, you know, it was a bad thing to make Saul a king. He repented. That's the word that he uses, to make him king. And he says, I'm going to take you out of the kingdom. So, in the verse, if you can put verse 22 and 23, or maybe we'll start in verse 20. It says, then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord. I went on a mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God, at Gilgal. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of divination, and insubordination or rebellion is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Why, you know, why God delights so much in obedience? Or why God is so displeased with disobedience? And I want you to pay attention, because in our lives, and everybody's, it could be that you are living in disobedience to God. And that's really a wrong place to be. And, you know, there are so many verses that says, you will be blessed if you obey me, you know, and Deuteronomy, how do you say it? Deuteronomy. It says that, you know, I put before you blessing or curse if you obey me or disobey me. And we see all that. And I really feel that the Lord wants to show us and really think about if you're there are areas in your life that you're living in disobedience. And because he delights. He said, you know, when he talks about Jesus in Philippians 2:18, he said he was obedient till death. And that's why he exalted him over all things. You know, and we see the for us as Christians, you know, this should be a key. And we need to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord and obey. So I want to give you some reasons for why God is so displeased in disobedience, or why he delights in obedience. So disobedience is a misplace of fear. You know, when he says in verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. First, he didn't want it to recognize, but then he said, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and listen to their voice. You know, so many times we disobey the Lord because we fear people. And, you know, that is not pleasing to God. It's crazy to think that we rather get the consequences of people than the consequences of God. It's crazy to think that, you know, the creator of the universe is here and he says, I don't know what they're going to think of me. I'd rather please men. You know, and it happened, you know, all of us probably have been in school. You know, when the kid said, hey, do this. If you don't do it, oh, you know, you're not our friend. You know, we rather please people rather than pleasing God. And it's crazy to fear human consequences, the divine consequences of God. He's the creator of the universe. And, you know, God is greatly insulted when we rather listen to people than God. What happened to Aaron? Remember when Moses went up and he was praying and he didn't come back, and the people said, make us a God that we can worship. And what did Aaron say? If you remember, he said, the people told me to do it. The people make me do it. And so many times we rather, you know, obey and hear and fear people than God. You know, sometimes we have pressure of our friends or even our boss. You know, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to lie here. We're going to take, you just do as I say to you, you know, because we want to be good with our boss. We sometimes rather do that than obey God and do what is pleasing to him. The second one is a misplacement of pleasure. Saul try to tell, you know, it was to sacrifice all those animals to the Lord. If you see verse 19, it says, Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rush upon the spoils and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? You know, Saul tried to tell Samuel, look, we kept these animals because we're going to sacrifice them to the Lord. Oh, we're going to do a good thing. Do you know who will keep the meat of the sacrifices when you will do a sacrifice to the Lord? The people. The people will take it and eat it. So they were thinking, well, why are we going to leave all these animals, you know? They put the pleasure in things. They elevated things instead of God. And, you know, it happened so many times in our lives. We rather get the pleasure of things than the pleasure of God. And that is so sad for us, you know. God is our greatest pleasure. But we put other things. And we try to justify it ourselves. You know, sometimes I try to understand why sometimes we are late, you know, in church. Have you thought about it? Why we come late? You know, and some, they come earlier waiting, and I feel bad. But sometimes I was thinking, the Lord was telling me, sometimes we put pleasure in ourselves and say, I'm going to sleep a little more, or, you know, I'm too tired, or you know, and you put a pleasure in yourself rather than say, God, you know, I'm going to be there because I want to be early. I want to receive from you. I want to walk with you. And sometimes we disobeyed because, you know, other things are a pleasure. And, you know, the Lord doesn't like that, and we can see it here. What happened? You know, I remember the other day I was doing a job for Bobby, and I went to the Lowe's, the cashier, and then they didn't scan several things, you know, on my thing, and it was expensive, you know, it was some tile. And I thought about, well, you know, hey, I checked the receipt. And said, should I go back in? Or should I tell them, you know, to check it? And you can think, well, I could have think, I'll give it as an offering to God, you know. God is more pleased than me to do it the right thing and obeying to his voice. So I go in, you know, and I tell the guy, hey, you didn't charge me for that. You came back for this, you know. God wants us to do the right thing, to obey him more than all the sacrifices or all that we can say. The third one is misplacement of praise. You know, if you go to verse 12, after he, you know, killed the Amalekites but kept some of the things, he says, Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. And he was told, Samuel saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceed on down to Gilgal. So he says that one of the first thing after he did, you know, what supposedly God told him, he went and make a monument for himself. You know, he was more worried about his own name than the name of the Lord. And read verse 19. It says, Samuel said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. See, so many times we want people to see us, to see what we do, to get the attention. And if you think about it, you know, he says, you were nothing before God chose you to be a king, but you're still trying to make a name for yourself. And, you know, in our Christian life, is it your goal to make God the priority, the highest, that his name will be glorified, or we're pursuing our career, our name, what is best for us, and what is our accommodation? Everything is for us. And he says, you know, God makes us sons and daughters. He has redeemed us. He has given us freedom to sin. He has anointed us. We are princes, prince and princess of our God, sons and daughters, heirs with him, with Christ. But we keep looking our own name. What the world says, oh, I want to be recognized. I want to do so much in this world for my name. And so many times we disobey God in order to get our name and not his name. Why do you seek, you know, the approval of men and disobey God? That's a misplacement of praise. He's the only one who deserves our praises. Why do we care so much about the approval? Why do we want to make a monument that people see, I'm successful, I'm this. I'm not saying it's bad, but if you put it before God and God is not the first priority in your life. He has given us everything, he says, concerning to life and death. But we sometimes we put our praises in ourselves. So think about that. And I know that you can find in yourself many examples of this. Number four, disobedience. You know, I wrestle with this a lot, thinking about this, because I think this is really important. It's a sin of divination. You know, let's read verse 22 and 23, because this is so important. And as Samuel said, has the Lord as much as delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion, talking about, you know, that's what happened when you disobey. Rebellion is as the sin, is as the sin of divination. In the Greek, it is really strong. It says, is divination. You know, if you think one of the worst sins in the Old Testament was idolatry and divination. Those were the worst things you could do. And he's saying, you know, is a sin of divination, and unsubordination is an iniquity in idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Disobedient. So let's say, what is divination? You know, it's leaving the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, and seeking another source. You know, seeking, well, God is telling me I need to forgive my brother. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, I don't know if that's right, you know, because after what he did, and we think about it. But let me read, let's go to the third, how do you say, Deuteronomy 18:9. And It says a little bit of a divination there. 18:9. So listen, it says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, of one who interprets omens or sorcerers, or the one who casts a spell or a medium or a spirit, or the one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these things, and he keeps talking, you know, the Ouija board, the reader of the palms, the crystal ball, whatever, astrology, whatever you name it. When we live the wisdom of God, and seek another source, when we will consult and turn away from God, you know, and it could be ourselves too. So many times, the Lord is saying one thing, and we say, God, you know, let me think about it. Let me see if, you know, I agree with this. In our own minds, you know, no, I'm not going to forgive that brother because of this. But God is telling you, you know, we need to forgive each other, to walk in community, to learn. And he says, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. You know, we're putting ourselves, you know, we're rejecting the wisdom of God. And, you know, that's why when he says that it's a sin of divination. So disobeying God is serious. So sometimes in our mind we say, oh, it's okay. You know, how many times the Bible just says, overlook offenses in our brothers. But we don't want to, we cling to that. We want our way. We do not lean on your own understanding. You know, we like to think, divination is these guys doing that over there. And you know, when you turn from God, what he's saying to you, what he's speaking to you, you know, you could fall into that. Fifth, disobedience is idolatry. Verse 23, for rebellion is as, and remember in the Greek is really specific, the sin of divination, and insubordination is an iniquity and idolatry. And that's why God rejected Saul. You know, so many times we rather give praises to ourselves than to God. And, you know, really no one wants to be in that, you know, in that place, to be in an idolater or to have the divination. No one, you know, I remember in my mind always thinking, Lord, you know, I don't want anything to do. I remember my friends doing a lot of things, of those things of divination, you know, Ouija board, all those things. And I always thought, Lord, you know, keep me away from that. But, you know, when we desire our own path, that's why I said to you, it's really important to we learn to obey, listen and obey the voice of the Lord. Because we can fall, and that's why I've seen so many of my friends falling away from the Lord. It's because disobedience. They don't want, they are wrestling in themselves and say, Lord, should I do this or should I do that? But when the Lord speaks, we rather do the other thing. You know, and if you think about, well, Saul, the only thing he did is just to keep some sheep and oxen and a king, and he was going to sacrifice those things to the Lord. It seems, you know, not bad, but God loves obedience. Because obedience is the opposite of all these things that we saw. Disobedience make the fear of man more important than the voice of God. That's what it does in your life. And so many times we don't want to see it. Disobedience seeks a name for itself and instead of name and recognition of God. Seek the wisdom of self. Oh, I can do it. Or I think this is the best way. Or I don't go to church because of this. We put excuses. I don't want to go. You know, I don't want to follow. Or whatever it is. And dissatisfy the wisdom of God. Always seek the wisdom of God. You know, it dethrones God and thrones self. And you know, if there is something in your life that the Lord has spoke to you, you know, obey. Obey his voice. I know so many of you here, and I know that the Lord has speak so many things to your life. And maybe you're not following them. Maybe you're not doing them. You know, recently I was telling, you know, one of my kids, hey, do this. You know, and he, you know, disobeyed me plain, you know, no. And I keep saying it. He's not, I remember I was feeling something inside of me. I wanted to, you know, but living, you know, he was living in disobedience, you know, and I was feeling like the, so many of us, we know what is right from the Lord. You have things in your heart that you know what is right and the right path and what the Lord requires from you. And we're living in disobedience and thinking, no, later. Later I'll do this. Later I'll make things right with my brother. Later I will serve the Lord. The Lord has called us to serve him, to give our lives to him. But, you know, when we disobey, we put ourselves first. No matter how small the disobedience is, even if he's keeping some animals, like he thought, to offer to God. Maybe you know from the Lord you got to stop doing certain things in your life. Maybe the Lord is telling you right now you got to give that up. Even if it's resentment and forgiveness, even if it's, you know, drinking. I don't know what it is. The Lord will speak to you. But obey. Listen to his voice, because it is really sad that Christians, us as Christians, many are falling away because of disobedience. Maybe your disobedience is this small, but later, I bet you won't be here because you're disobeying the Lord, and it will take you to places that you don't even imagine. And, you know, the good thing about this, because I was thinking, oh, man, who thinks, you know, obedience sometimes is hard. Sometimes it's hard to say, Lord, you know, you're calling me to this, but I want to enjoy my life. I want to do this. You know, no, it's not my moment. I don't want to go to house church. I don't want to do this. I don't, whatever it is, you know, you got to listen and say, is it me that is putting the conditions of a God, the ruler of all things? It doesn't matter. But what impressed me when I was studying this is that it is a good thing. And I'm going to give you some passages about this. Because, you know, when he says he delights in obedience, he delights in our happiness. Because he says he won't tell you to do something that is wrong for you. He wants the best for you, and that's the good thing. When we obey, we know that we're on the right track to the blessings of God. You know, I was going to talk a little bit more of obedience opening all the blessings of God, but I thought, you know, maybe I should do this, and then, you know, you will know that God wants the best for you. We're going to read again. How do you say it, Judy? Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13. And he says, He says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God, listen, requires from you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good." It's for our own good. Can you imagine? We obey the Lord for our own good. It's when I'm telling my kid, you know, you need to eat some vegetables. He might think that's the most horrible thing, but you're not doing it because you're doing it because of his good. And we try and try, but it's for his good. But he might think, how can this be for my good? But the Lord is telling you, if you obey his voice, for your good. It's only your good. The only one who's going to benefit from this is you, from obeying the Lord. So what happened if you disobey the Lord? Who will be the one who, not be benefit? You. If you don't listen to the voice of the Lord and obey, you're the one who's going to suffer. Nobody else. Why will we try to disobey so much the voice of God? You know, when I tell my kid, you know, don't jump from there because you're going to get hurt. You know, he thinks that's the most exciting thing he could do. And you tell him again. You know, and you tell him again. It's for his own good. What God is telling you, when he says, now, this is what God requires from you. Fear the Lord and walk in his ways and love him and serve him, the Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your soul. It's for your own good. What else could we ask? Let's jump to 11:8. I love that. It's not so explicit as the last one, but I love it. It says, "You shall therefore keep every commandment which I commanded you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land in which you are about to cross to possess it." If you obey, he will keep you strong. If you obey, he will give you the strength. If you obey, you know, he'll renew your strength. You will always be ready. You know, when I think about obedience, you know, it's good. It's good for me. It will help me grow. It will help me please the Lord. Everybody wins with obedience. Everybody. So it's good to obey the Lord. So I thought about, you know, and I know it's a little late, but I think it is just fair to say, because I know many of us wrestle so many times with, should I do this? Should I commit myself to this? Should I give him my life? Should I obey him? Should I follow him? And sometimes it's really hard. And, you know, I was studying, and this is another study that we can do another day. The key to Christian obedience, because we're talking about obeying God. And, you know, it says in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the world, but be transformed." You know that 95%, or you can say, you know, 90, 97, whatever percent of our lives are decisions that is just spontaneous. You know, when you're talking, you're not thinking, should I say this, you know, verb, or should I use this? You know, things come out of you, right? When you get upset, it's not that you're thinking, oh, no, I'm going to, you know, or when you're happy, oh, I'm so happy, I'm going to get upset, you know, I'm going to go and do this. You don't think like that. Things just happen. You know, things are flowing from our hearts. You know, when you say, oh, you know, I'm feeling pretty humble today, but, I want to do something that, you know, is going to bother my brother. You know, no one said, I'm going to give my wife a hard time. No one says that, or you know, vice versa. Everything flows, you know, from our hearts, it says. It comes out. You know, the things that you say, the things that you do, you know, and you say, I want to obey the Lord, but, you know, there are words that are coming from my mom. I don't even know how these things is working. And you know, when I feel so happy, I'm going to get angry. You don't say that, but you get angry, right? Those things come out. And 97%, you just go and get dressed and go to work. And you see, the key to obeying the Lord is a renewed mind. God has to transform our minds. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God. That's changing us from the inside. Because if I say, if I'm really, you know, the kinds of person that is angry, you know, just because saying, I'm not going to get angry, and someone comes and I get angry, you know. God has to renew our mind so we can listen and obey. And things are changing when we read the scriptures, when we follow him, when we say, God, I'm here. He's changing those things in us. So Christian obedience, the key is renewing our minds, asking God to renew it. And, you know, when I was preparing, I was thinking, God, I really need you. You know, I do some things that I know are wrong, but they just come, they just flow, they just come out. So I need you to renew me, you know, to change me, because I want to be obedient to you, because I know it's for my own good, because I know you're pleased when I obey you. So I want to encourage you this morning. You know, if there is something that the Lord has spoke to you before, now, you know, listen to his voice and obey. And ask, you know, Lord, I don't want to consult the wizard of my mind and see what is good for me. Lord, what is, you know, and when you say, you know, you got to do this, and I say, no, I want to do my own way. Think about what we talk is, if we live in obedience, you know, you have a better life. God will be glorified. God will, you know, do great things in us. So I want to finish, and I'm going to read Hebrews 4:6. It says, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. You know, when he's talking about the rest of the Lord, the good things that he has for us. It says many didn't enter because disobedience. It also says in verse 11, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Talking about, you know, when they didn't enter to the promised land. You know, God wants to do great things in your life. God wants peace, freedom, joy. better marriage, better, you know, everything. He wants the best for you, but it starts with obedience. For small, as it seems, little things that the Lord is speaking to you, it starts with obedience. You know, you gotta learn that, and you gotta ask the Lord, am I living in some areas in my life in disobedience? So, you know, if you want to enter to his rest, he was talking the promised land, but also in our lives, you know, to that life of joy and peace. You know, it starts with obedience. Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves to you. We don't want to be and follow the example of the King Saul, Lord, that he thought he was obeying you, doing the right thing, but he rather fixed their eyes on the people that were watching, on himself, and not seeking your wisdom, Lord. I pray, God, that we will be obedient to your word. You said that we prove our love to you if we keep your commandments. We prove that we love you. So, Father, show me if I'm being disobedient, not serving you, not following you like you deserve, not forgiving my brother, not overlooking offenses. Maybe I'm living in a lie. Maybe I'm living my life in disorder, and I don't want to follow you. I reject your counsel. I reject your word. I don't want to commit and trust in you, Lord. I don't know, but show me, because I want to live a life of obedience to you. I don't want to fall in idolatry on the sin of divination. I want to trust what you have and be confident. I want to obey you, God. And you do that in our lives through your spirit and renewing our minds. When we follow you, when we read this scripture, it's so important. Guide us from here, Lord. Guide us and forgive us when we don't listen to you and we do our own thing, thinking that is the best. But only you know the best. And when we obey, it's for our own good, Lord, and I recognize it, and forgive us, because we think what is good for us. But you say you delight in obedience because you are glorified, because you become the center of everything we do, and we get the benefit. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for everything. Amen.